good morning. Welcome to Main Street. So glad that y'all chose to come and worship with us this morning. Looking forward to another good study this morning as we're still in Luke chapter 11. And we'll be picking up in verse 14 today. But before we do that, let's go ahead and go to God in prayer. Then we'll begin. Lord, we just come before you and thank you for this highest privilege and honor it is to come into your presence, to come into your assembly, to gather together and to open your words and to seek to understand what you have taught us. Just look down and have mercy on us. Forgive us of our many sins. Please be with our nation. And be with this church and so many other churches across this nation. Just strengthen us, revive us, and help us to be about your business and to do your will. And let your name be glorified among us. And it's through Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. So we, like I said, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11. And beginning in verse 14. And this is a pretty neat, interesting story. I want to read this for us, 14 through 23. We'll go back through it, break it down, and see what's being said here. So it says, "Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, 'He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons.' While others, to test him, kept saying, 'From him,' kept seeking, that is, from him, a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So, right, very interesting story, a lot of good stuff here. So, first off, let's identify who we're dealing with. We've got a man who is possessed by a demon. And this demon has kept him from being able to speak. It's kind of interesting, something you know we don't think about a whole lot today, but the Bible is attributing this function to the demon that is in him, keeping this man from being able to speak. And it's kind of interesting if we look over in Matthew's parallel account in chapter 12, verse 22, he adds just a little bit more information. He tells us, "Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute." So, right, Matthew tells us that he was also blind, not just mute. And Just stopping there for a second, I don't think we can understand, you know, what it would be like to spend your whole life and not be able to see or not be able to speak. That is something that you know, I can't even go there. I can't even comprehend what it would have been like to have been in his situation. And then kind of, you know, adding to that, this chapter is going to be dealing with, or at least this section is going to be dealing with both talking about the kingdom of God as well as the kingdom of the devil. And one of the things that the devil does in a spiritual way, he keeps us from being able to see, right? People outside of Christ, they're blind spiritually. And of course, they cannot hear. And also, they're not able to speak good things. But yet, you know, lies and cursing comes from their mouth, and evil things come out of the abundance of their heart because they're under the bondage of the devil. And I think, so some of those things, I think that's good to kind of keep in mind as we continue to read this morning, because I think the spiritual interpretation is what Jesus is really going to be getting at as he's talking about this coming kingdom of God. So of course, Jesus, he heals this man. So he hadn't been able to see, he hadn't been able to speak his whole life, and Jesus heals him. And then in Luke, it tells us, we're still in verse 14, it says, the people marveled, right? They were amazed. This is such an incredible work. And then I'm jumping back to Matthew's account in chapter 12. It tells us just a little bit more information. It says in verse 23, it says, and all the people were amazed. And then it tells us what they said. And said, can this be the son of David? So there was something about this miraculous sign that made them think, oh, is this the one that was written about? Is this the coming king of Israel? Is this the son of David? And if we look back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 35, I think we can see a prophecy about the coming Christ that is being fulfilled here, and will justify what they were saying here. You know, can this be the son of David? So Isaiah 35 tells us in verse 5, it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like the deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. So for good Israelites, for good Jews who knew their Bible, who knew the Old Testament, they probably would have been putting two and two together. Here is this great prophet who is doing these very miracles that have been prophesied long ago by the mouth of Isaiah. And also, I think it's interesting to note when Jesus responds to John the Baptist. Y'all remember in Luke when John the Baptist, he was questioning, is Jesus the Christ? What's going on? Why am I in prison? And he's questioning Jesus. If we turn over in Luke to 7:22, Jesus gives us evidence here. Luke 7:22. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who does not, or who is not offended by me." So here, unmistakably, Jesus is referring back to this Isaiah prophecy, and he's saying that I am this one, right, who is prophesied to come. And so, because of these miracles that Jesus is doing, the Jews should have believed. They should be able to put two and two together. And right in Luke, when it says the people marveled, right? I think that's part of what goes into that, right? They're recalling the Old Testament scriptures. But yet, in jealousy, we see how the Pharisees respond here in verse 15. It says, "But some of them said, 'He cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons.'" Does anybody know who Beelzebul is? Any comments about that? Or what's that, Jeff? The evil one. Yeah. Yeah, I think, and the Bible answers the question here. It says the prince of demons, and I think the New Testament associates that with the devil. And this is kind of an interesting word, and if you look at kind of the context of this time, the cultural context, and what the Jews thought of this word, Beelzebul would have referred to the prince of the demons, as the Scripture said, but they associated demons as idols. So it's thought that Beelzebul would have been a pagan god, and the Jews actually would have renamed that pagan god by this name, which actually literally means God of dung, right? It's a name to express hatred towards idolatry, hatred towards pagan gods. So this is one of the most offensive things that you can call someone. And here we have the Jews ascribe this name to Jesus, call him this God of dung. And maybe in our time we might say that it's the devil himself, right? That might be something that we would say that would relate to this. But of course, Jesus, in ultimate wisdom, has a response, has a witty response, and let us take a look at this. Verse 16, it says, "While others to test him keep seeking from him a sign from heaven." Verse 17, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said to him, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be judges. They will be your judges. I think one thing I skipped over, this is pretty cool. It says, Jesus knowing their thoughts. I think that would be worthy of reflection. You know, to think about, God doesn't just, see us and how we interact, but He has the ability to see within the heart of man, right? He can search the inward being and He can see our thoughts. He can see the depravity, the darkness of man, and He has the ability to shine the light in the dark places. So, and it's kind of hard to argue with someone who knows your thoughts, right? It makes it kind of difficult. And someone who has supreme wisdom and knowledge. So, of course, Jesus, makes the argument, you're claiming that I'm casting out demons by a demon, by the power of Satan. This is just complete foolishness. It makes no sense. And he, talks about, a household that's divided. I think we all understand what happens when a household is divided. It falls. It cannot stand. And we think about a nation, civil war. That's about the worst thing that can happen to a nation, and that leaves them vulnerable. And of course, and he says here, he says, therefore, they will be your judges, right? That's your sons. And in verse 19, apparently there were exorcists in the time of Jesus. We don't know if they actually had the power to cast out demons, but they thought they did. And they went around and tried to cast out demons by the power of God. So Jesus is saying, just look at them, right? Ask them by what name, by what power they're trying to do these things, and that will be a judge in itself. And then we move on to verse 20. And this is, I think, the heart of what is being said here this morning. It says, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so that's something I want us to keep in mind. We're talking about the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdom of the devil and the prince of demons. And so let's we'll discuss that further later. And then verse 21, we have a fascinating parable that Jesus gives in order to explain His point, in order to describe, if you will, what this kingdom of God is going to be like and how it is going to conquer the kingdom of this world or the devil's kingdom. So let's look at this this parable that Jesus gives here. Verse 21. It says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, palace, it says, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. And I think this is just significant here, right, as we're keeping in mind the kingdom of God and what it's going to be like. We can imagine a strong man who is clothed with armor and strength. And, right, it's very difficult to overwhelm him, but then we have someone who is even stronger that is coming in and overwhelming him. And surely, I take this to mean that this is Jesus Christ, and this is Him overcoming the devil, and this is the coming of the kingdom of God. And I want us just to, first of all, are there any thoughts or comments to this point so far? Jeff, did you... Okay, so you're saying... yeah. And see, So, yeah, Jeff, I think you're just hitting the nail on the head. We're trying to, you know, talk about this morning, yeah, the differences and maybe contrast both the kingdom of this world, right, the God of this world with Jesus Christ, who is coming and He's bringing this new kingdom, and it's coming with power, and it's coming with force. And then even in verse 23, you know, I want to discuss this more, but a little bit. But it says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So, right, we can't be lukewarm, right? You can't be both in the kingdom of this world and in the kingdom of God, but you have to be. Choose a side. And I love, you know, what it says there at the end about those who do not gather with Him are going to scatter. They're going to flee. And that's pretty cool imagery that we have there. Very, very descriptive. Paints a nice picture about the power of Christ. And the enemies of Him are going to surely run from Him. But I want us just to dive a little bit deeper and to look a little bit about the kingdom of this world first. And let's look at John 5:19. I'm going to turn over there and contrast these two kingdoms. So 1 John 5:19 tells us, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." And that's a pretty... pretty important, pretty bold verse there. It says, you know, not just a small portion of the world, but the entire world lies under the Bible word here. It says the power of the evil one. And that's a big problem, right? And that's one that mankind needs a solution for, right? We're desperate for someone to rescue us out of this, the clutches, the shackles, the chains of the devil, out of this slavery. Let's look at a few other verses that talk about the devil and his work in the world. How about John chapter 8, verse 34? Let's take a look at that. John chapter 8, verse 34. It says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." So I guess I'll ask the question here. Who is it that's a slave to sin? Or a slave to the devil? Pretty easy, but that's a good thing to establish. It's everyone who has sinned, right, is under this bondage, who is a slave. And then there are many verses, but let's look at one more here for the sake of time. Romans 6:20 talks about this slavery. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. It tells us, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So according to Romans 6:20, we were all slaves. And it's kind of interesting, you know, a lot of people in this world totally are oblivious to the fact that they are, in fact, slaves. And to a more, far more cruel taskmaster than any earthly master. But anyone that is sinned is, in fact, under this bondage, lives according to the sinful nature, lives according to the God of this world. And as we read in the previous verse, we're talking about we need desperately someone, a strong man, someone who is mightier than us, thinking about that parable, to overwhelm the devil, to set us free, to free us from the shackles. And as we read in John 8, it says, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." And that's one of my favorite verses. And I think about, you know, the might and the power that no one else could have done what Jesus did in order to set us free. And we think about Acts 26, what Jesus tells or speaks of Paul. He says, you're going to, let's just go ahead and turn over there to Acts 26. I think this is very descriptive of when we're trying to talk about both the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God. Acts 26. And this is what Jesus says about Paul's ministry. It says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." And this is the verse I wanted to emphasize, verse 18. This is Paul's ministry. This is the ministry of the church. This is the ministry of this new kingdom. It says to open the eyes, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So did you catch that? It says, turn from the power of Satan. Right? I take that to mean everyone who has sinned, they're under slavery, and they are under a power. The devil has a power, but yet Jesus has come in a new kingdom, a powerful kingdom, and he has the authority as the Son to set us free. And if he sets us free, we will be free indeed. It's those are good points, and you know it's neat how you know this relates with our story about you know he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about that's what Jesus is all about, of setting us free that we might have spiritual sight, and then he's displaying that through healing someone who's blind. And someone who's mute, and then the concept of darkness and light. I just love that to death. God Himself, you know, says that He is light, and it's incredible how light. When you turn the light on, the light it consumes the darkness, right? And that's surely that's what God does to sin, and that's what he wants to shine the light in our heart. Please do, James. Okay. Very, very interesting. Yeah, it's, yeah, critters that we associate just kind of nasty and stuff, and they scatter, so to speak, right? That's what we were just reading about, that those who do not gather with Jesus are going to scatter. And that's what roaches do when turning the lights. And surely that's what you know, sinners do when light is exposed. You know, when light is shown in on their hearts and their deeds are exposed. Let's see here. Two minutes left. Any other thoughts this morning? Closing thought. So I guess I can ask, you know, the question here: how do we get into this kingdom? How do we advance this kingdom of God? Any thoughts about that? Yeah, and I, I think Romans chapter 6, we were talking about in verse 20, what it was like to be a slave to sin, how everyone used to be. But if you back up in that chapter, at the very beginning of Romans chapter 6, it talks about becoming a Christian. And it talks about that we have to die. God requires us to repent, and He requires us to die, and He requires us to put Him on in baptism, right? To die to ourselves and then to rise to newness of life and to walk within that and to walk according to the kingdom of God, to walk according to the divine nature, walk according to the Spirit as opposed to walking according to the world. And I think just to leave us with one last thought, this idea that there's no in between, there's no middle ground, but Jesus, there's those who gather with Him, who are on His side, who are in the kingdom of light, and that's interesting, right? How think about light and darkness? They don't mix, right? Right, and Paul talks about that. What fellowship does light have with darkness, right? They can't mix. So we have a decision. We're either with Christ or we're with the devil. And I hope that that we can flee to Him and come to Him in the way that He's appointed. Let's close with prayer briefly here. Father, thank You so much for our story this morning. Thank You for the mighty Savior that Jesus is, that He has come to save us from our sins, and that the kingdom of God has come, and we have an opportunity to draw near to Him and to be free from slavery. Just look down upon us and bless us. Bless this church and bless us as we assemble once again to worship You. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.